Welcome to the Grace-Based Family Podcast. This is Dr. Tim Kimmel. For over 40 years, our ministry has been teaching people all over the globe how to turn God's act of grace into the defining feature of their closest relationships. We're excited for you to listen in on the conversation.
Hey, Kelly.
Hey, Michelle.
Okay, I have a funny question for you. Are you the type of friend that tells a friend they have something in their teeth?
I think it depends on the friend.
Is it awkward for you?
Sometimes. It depends on the friend.
Like level
really
of
close friends, no problem. Like, you know, outskirt friends that you don't know how they're going to take it. And yeah, sometimes you just got to buffer it. And so, yeah, I think it depends.
That is a hard one for me. I have a high like secondary embarrassment threshold. And so, or low one, I'm sorry. So I get embarrassed easily. So I'm scared to tell somebody, hey, you have something in your teeth. And then maybe they feel awkward. And then I feel awkward for them. And then the whole thing is awkward. So I usually don't say anything. I'm probably a bad friend. But we were on a couple's trip not too long ago. And we were at dinner. And my husband's sitting there. And he's going to be so embarrassed that I'm saying this. But he had had a salad. And his friend Kyle was sitting next to him, and I noticed it across the table. And of course, I'll tell my husband.
Yeah.
So I was trying to get his attention, like, you got a piece of spinach over here, right? Yeah. But he wasn't looking. Next thing I know, Kyle picks up his fork and he's like, Mike, open your mouth. And he's like, what? What are you doing? He's like, you got something in your teeth. You have a piece of spinach. I'm going to pry it out with my fork. I'm like, oh, and Mike's like, no, get that out of my mouth. Just tell me where it is. I'll get it. And I was like, Kyle, I really appreciate, like, you just sacrificed your fork to dig into Mike's mouth to pick out a piece of spinach. Like, you're a good friend. I don't think I would do that.
I don't know. He might have a friend that has boundary issues.
That's
like,
true.
It's one thing to tell the person they've got something in their teeth, but to, like, reach in there and get it for them, like,
at a restaurant,
you know, I would let them try first. And then if they're really struggling, then maybe assist. But to go straight in for it,
it's just like, open up.
Yeah.
Well, and right before we were recording this podcast, we were thinking, okay, let's talk about that. And then
yes, you can say it, go ahead.
I look over and Kelly has this cute black sweater on, and I point and I stare and I'm like, you have your tag hanging on your sweater.
And she literally went, yes. Like, she just called me out and was like winning the game of who can embarrass their friends the most. Oh,
I know. But I wasn't trying to embarrass you. I was just like really happy that I saw it hanging from the armpit, like the Old Navy tag, before you went out into public and were speaking and had this like 1999 tag jangling from the pit or what. I don't know the price, but you can tell us.
Yes. Clearly she felt very successful in her quality of friendship by going, yes, I saved her.
Oh my gosh.
But I did appreciate it. And I don't have a low threshold of embarrassment. So I didn't care, which is why it's more than fine that you just told the world that I left the house with a tag on my sweater.
You forget to take off your tags on your Old Navy.
I literally was brushing my teeth and saw it in the mirror and was like, oh yeah, don't forget to take the tag off before you leave. But as all of you can probably relate, it's a Monday morning and it's also final week for my older kids and a lot going on. I leave out of town for work. So I was rushing and last thing on my mind was that darn tag.
That's all right.
But thank you for my great friend.
Yes. And it's just funny because the first the first thing we were going to talk about when teaching your kids to be a good friend is never disparage. And she's like, really? I feel like that's what you're just doing. So anyway, we'll jump into these tips to teach your kid to be a good friend. This is one of my favorite things to talk with my kids about. I feel like God has really blessed me with some long-term friendships. I'm still friends with friends from elementary school, and it has just been really neat to journey with people for decades. And I know you have some really long-standing friendships. And I think one of the keys to this is what we say to our kids is you never want to leave a friend, like after hanging out with a friend or talking with them, you never want them to feel worse off about themselves.
That's right.
after hanging out with you than they did before. You want your friend to walk away feeling like, huh, that's a good friend. Like, they love me. They believe in me. They want what's best for me. And I think that's kind of the barometer for me with friends too. And that probably speaks to why, like, I have the good friends that I've had over the years, and the ones that were kind of toxic, you mm-hmm. just kind of let go. Mm-hmm. And you have to teach your kids to do the same. Because there's a lot of one-uppers out there, or yep. kids that are going to make your kids feel really bad about themselves. And not that you can't, you know, be acquaintances with them, but you want to set some healthy boundaries. So mm-hmm. The first tip we have is never disparage your friend's parents. No matter how much your friends are struggling, always encourage them to do their best and respect their mom and dad. Mm-hmm. It's real easy, I think, for kids to kind of gossip or complain, like, oh my gosh, like, your mom, she's so controlling. Like, mm-hmm. she doesn't let you do anything, mm-hmm. right? And so we always encourage our boys, like, okay, I know you don't really like how this mom never gives out snacks when you go over, or like never lets you inside because they're scared of dirty footprints or whatever. But don't make your friend feel bad about that. Right. Like, don't disparage their parents. Just encourage them. Do the best you can. Pack your own popcorn when you go over there, whatever. But encourage them to respect their parents. You don't want to be shaming, you know, your friend's parents.
Yeah. Well, and I even think when they get a little older into the teen years, they can wrestle with some more challenges with their parents and things like that. And you can teach your kids to be a good friend, to listen to what maybe they're sharing about their parents and challenges that they're having, but always point them back to, but, you know, they're their parents and they need to love and respect them, even if they don't necessarily agree with their rules or what they're saying or that kind of thing. But just kind of teaching them to, in a sense, listen and affirm how they're feeling, or not necessarily affirm, but just, you know, listen.
Empathize.
Yes, thank you. That's the word I was looking for.
And
yeah, be compassionate, empathize to what they're saying, but even say, you know, I know that it feels like your mom is always trying to control your life and not really listen to what you have to say, but just remember she loves you. And at the end of the day, you have to respect her. And, you know, that's kind of where it ends. Mm-hmm. But yeah, teaching them to love and respect their parents, even if they don't always agree with them.
Yeah. Another thing to encourage our kids to do is to not, obviously, this is kind of like duh, but don't tease your friends regarding things that they're sensitive about. Whether that's their looks, their weight, their intelligence, their family, whatever. Mm-hmm. And kids are weird. They have these like awkward self-defense mechanisms. So my oldest son goes to school with a boy and he is a little more heavy set. I don't even think he's that big. He's just kind of bigger than the other little scrawny guys. And this kid he's like, oh, I'm fat, I'm a tub of wubba and all this stuff. And so I said, and Brayden's like, well, everyone kind of teases him. He's friends with them. They're in the mm-hmm. same friend group.
Yeah.
I'm like, but you don't say anything, do you? He's like, no, I don't say anything, but it doesn't bother him because he makes fun of himself. I'm like, Brayden,
yeah,
it does bother him. Mm-hmm. He's making fun of himself to make it look like it doesn't hurt when other people make fun of him.
Right.
So you need to kind of switch that narrative around and tell him, no, you're not fat. You're strong. Look, I'd want you to have my back in a fight, or I'd want you to defend me on the line mm-hmm. in football. Because I think kids don't really know how to pick up on their friend's sensitivities. And so sometimes you have to explain that to them, like, no, he is really insecure about that.
Right.
So
we had that same situation with our baseball team that I helped coach this last season, where a kid kind of was a little bigger and but not overweight by any means. He's just taller, and just, you know, God makes everybody different body types and whatnot. And he's not the fastest kid on the team, but he would use humor to kind of deflect that.
Yeah.
And he would actually start the joke. And I actually had to have a conversation with the rest of the team one time when he wasn't at the practice. And they're like, oh no, he likes it. He gave himself this nickname. That means he's really fast when he really is the slowest on the team. He likes when we call him Bugatti, you know, like, oh, cause he's so fast, like the car or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you guys, that's, he's trying to make light of something that really affects him, and he's sensitive about, and he doesn't want to admit that to you guys because he wants to feel liked and cool with you. So even if he's the one kind of leading the conversation or the joke, you guys need to not buy into it, because I think it really does hurt his feelings, and he's just trying to come up with a way to deflect that. And so I also point them to, you know, God made us all different. I maybe didn't say God because this isn't a Christian baseball team, but I just talked about how we're all made different. Everybody has different skill sets, and some kids are really fast, but they also are not like the best at hitting the ball as far. And some of these kids that are a little, you know, taller and maybe stronger can hit the ball further, but can't run as fast as maybe some of the smaller, tinier guy. You know, like everybody's different, and we're all part of the same team, and we all our different skill sets and our different gifts are used collectively for us to do well. And so just trying to help point out to kids that we're all different for reasons, but it doesn't make them bad or less wanted or desired as a friend or a person, and that their differences can benefit us as a whole. Mm-hmm. You know, those bigger kids can be great in a fight to have your back if you're a tinier, scrawnier guy. So it's just helping these kids understand that everyone's different. Everyone comes from different families, different maybe... There's, you know, different financial situations and families, but that doesn't make us unable to be friends. And so really just pointing out that we're all made differently, but that's not wrong. And that can be a very good thing. Another thing that I think that we can run into with helping teach our kids to be a great friend is this one I always love talking to with my kids, and it's a tale as old as time, but never let them talk you into doing wrong or having fun at someone else's expense. Rise above it, and you'll be a better friend to them if you do. So it makes me think of that old saying of, you know, if your friend jumped off a bridge, would you do it too? And I know I use that line with my kids all the time because it's so true. It's like, okay, let's really stop and think about this. If your friend is wanting to do something that is going to get you into major trouble or put you in serious harm's way, is it really worth it just to be friends with them? And you can stand up for yourself and be bold in what you feel is right. And I would say this to my kids all the time. If your friends are trying to get you to do something that you know is probably not right and you choose not to, and they get mad at you and don't want to be your friend, are they really that great of a friend?
Right.
It's like, we want to teach our kids to be great friends, but I think we also want to teach them what a good friend to them is as well. And, you know, yes, it's great to have these long-term friendships like we both have in our lives, but also teaching our kids that there are friendships that are only for a season, and also to be aware of how to choose a good friend. And so if you have a friend that's trying to talk you into doing something that you shouldn't do, or making fun of someone at their expense, and that's cool, and that's how you fit in with that group of friends, like, you can choose to rise above it, and you can stand up for yourself and what you believe in, or defend those other kids that they're trying to make fun of. And that's really truly being a great friend. But you can do it in a way that's also loving. You know, you can say to the friend that's trying to lead that situation and go, you know what, I don't really think that that's how we should, you know, be acting, or, oh, I don't think we should jump off this bridge. Let's go get a lollipop instead. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. let's go get a snack. Just trying to teach your kids, maybe try to redirect the conversation. An example of this that I can think of is my kids with cussing. I have older kids in high school, and since they were younger, you know, they went to a charter school, so there wasn't as much language at the smaller school. But as it came up, as they've switched schools and got older and kids started using foul language, even on their sports teams, we would talk about, like, you don't have to say those words just to be friends with them and to fit in. Mm-hmm. And if they're saying bad words, you don't have to not be friends with them. Like, that's their choice that they want to talk that way. Is it appropriate? Is it necessary? No. And you can just simply say, like, I don't talk that way, but, like, if you want to, that's on you. But just, you know, just so you know, like, I don't talk like that. And I've heard my daughter have that conversation with several friends before, and they're like, okay. And, you know, those friends know that we don't really talk that way in our family. And when they're around, if they let it slip, they'll say, oh, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, you know, it's okay. Like, you can't control what comes out of other people's mouths, but you can try and model it. And that friendships don't have to end necessarily because of something that the other person is doing. You can just try to do the best you can do by being a better friend to them, by modeling the behavior that they should hopefully have themselves.
Mm-hmm. I like what you said a few minutes ago about not only are we wanting to teach our kids how to be good friends to others, but we need to teach them to identify who is being a good friend to them. Mm-hmm. And I think being real involved with your kids, having kids over your house, being the driver if you can to events, you can kind of keep ears and eyes out open open for, like, okay, that kid is so annoying. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, okay, this kid is just going through a little season, but I can see he'll get better. I just need to kind of, you know, keep an eye out on him.
Right.
I mean, we've had friends where my kids will be like, I don't even want to hang out with him anymore. He's so awful. And I'm like, really? And then we have more. I'm like, yep, you're right. We're done.
Yep.
Like, if, and not forever, but, like, he is terrible. Like, no wonder you don't want to hang out
right.
with him. He puts you down. He physically assaults you.
Yes.
And then it's hard as a parent. I'm such a people pleaser. I'm like, yes, he cannot. Yeah, this weekend won't work. What mm-hmm. I want to. And I've had to have conversations like, sorry, we're just not really wanting to hang out. And this is why. We are open to working on it with you. But mm-hmm. it is hard. But you don't want your kid to be in a situation where they're, like, getting beaten up or,
right.
you know, there's no boundaries there. So on the flip side of that, though, we always tell our kids, don't smother. Don't be a smotherer. Like, no one wants a stage four clinger friend, right? And in reverse of that, I'm like, just tell your friends to give you a little space. Like, we just want to encourage some good, healthy boundaries. So mm-hmm. we have this thing we call psychodialing, where I'm like, okay, you can call a friend or text a friend, but if they don't respond, you don't keep calling and call.
Right.
You give it 10 or 20 minutes and then you can try to call again. Because we have some friends that will, like, call the kids' iPads and it's like ring, ring, ring. No answer. Ring, ring. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're psycho dialing. Like, that's too much. If we're not available, we'll get back to you. We see that we've had 17 missed calls from this individual.
Right.
So I think it's just coaching your kid. Hey, no, you don't like that when we're eating dinner and somebody's calling you 17 times and you have to keep declining it. So don't do that to other people. No one wants to be smothered.
I think another example of that too is, like, when your kid gets the idea of, like, oh, I want to hang out at so-and-so's house. And we'll have to have that conversation of, like, well, but you have to be invited.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And they're like, but they came over to our house the last two times and I've never really been over to their house, or it's been so long since I've been over to their house. And I really want to go over there because they got this new game and I want to play this game. And it's like, that's all good and nice, but you haven't been invited. Like, we can't just
invite ourselves.
Certain very, very close friendships, if you're close with the parents, you might be able to say, like, hey, can so-and-so come over? But for the most part, it's like teaching, I think, your kids to be pursued and invited by friends. But also we have the opportunity to do that ourselves. And by pursuing those friendship and inviting them. And we get into this a lot too with our kids where it's like, you know, we can do our best to pursue these relationships and invite them over, be intentional, but and hope that they'll reciprocate, but sometimes they don't. And that, I think, can be hard too. I think this goes into a point of, you know, being a loyal and faithful to your friends, you know, just in general, but especially if maybe you have a friend that was included in the group and then no longer for some reason is being included in the group, like you still pursuing them, because it goes back to that age-old story of treat others the way you want to be treated. I talk to my kids about that all the time, especially when it comes to friendship, is, you know, God calls us to love others the way that Jesus loved others. And I think one of the best ways we can show that is through friendships. And I've always kind of been the friend that initiates and pursues. And sometimes it can be really hard because it doesn't feel reciprocated. And so you can feel like you're putting in all this effort and it's not always being met. But, you know, that's Jesus' life, you know. Right. Jesus pursued how many people, and they didn't always receive what he was offering. And I think it was really lonely for him at times. But that's the commission that God has called us to live out as believers. And so I talk to my kids about that all the time, of be that loyal and faithful friend, always pursue them, even if others don't. Continue to invite them over. And if God really is calling you to be their friend, eventually they'll say yes. But this goes back to what we were talking about before, is also knowing the timing of friendships and not only how to be a good friend, but to choose good friends. So if after a while there comes a point where it's like, you're putting forth all this energy and it's not being reciprocated, it's okay to then, you know, step away and understand that seasons of friendship come and go. Some are meant to be those lifelong friends like you have from elementary school, but some are just meant for a few years or even a few months. But if we continue to be loyal and faithful and stand up for our friends and show them the love of Jesus through our intentionality and our pursuit, there might come a time where they come back to us. You know, maybe they walked away from the friendship for a while because of just different things. I see this with my kids all the time. You know, middle school and high school really kind of shifts things. You have different interests. You start doing different clubs and sports in school, and your friends that were your best friends from elementary school through junior high all of a sudden are hanging out with a new crowd because they're involved in this one sport or club at school, and you don't really see each other anymore. But if you've always been a loyal and faithful friend to them, you know, there might come a time where those new friends are lacking something that you offered by being a safe place for them, and they'll come back to you if the timing is right. But just being someone that pursues and is intentional, I think, is really important in being a great friend.
Yeah, and sometimes that's hard, like you said, if it's not reciprocated. I think another thing that we can encourage our kids to do to really stand out, I feel like kids, maybe especially boys, are a little like in elementary school, a little clueless when it comes to encouraging and applauding their friends. There's a lot of competitiveness and comparison, especially in, you know, sports or academics. So I think we have to coach them through, okay, like we had this friend and he was constantly like down on himself because of athletics. He wasn't in whatever the highest groups in school as far as math and reading groups. And my son was getting kind of frustrated, like, oh, he's just really negative all the time. And I'm like, well, he's struggling. Like, mm-hmm. why not instead of be nice to him, instead of judging him and being grumps and pulling away, because now you're making it harder on him, right? So we had to encourage him, and we, as parents, because we're good friends with their parents, had to say, okay, let's talk this out, you two, because they were kind of button heads. And they both got to share, well, I'm frustrated because I'm not doing well in this. Well, I'm frustrated because your attitude's been really hard to be around. So that's why mm-hmm. I've pulled away. And anyway, we had to coach them through it because they were both just butting heads, being mean and walking away from their friendship. And mm-hmm. we're like, guys, come on. This is a good friendship. You need to encourage each other when someone's down and really like applaud their efforts, even if it's like a baby step. And it really did change. It kind of turned their relationship around and put them back on course. But kids on their own don't really think through that, right? They're mm-hmm. just kind of like, oh, I'm up against a wall. This kid's being mean or grumpy or whatever. I'm done. Instead of like, press in, ask them what's going on, mm-hmm. see how you can encourage them, ask what you can do to be a better friend to support him or her right now.
Yeah. I think another example of this is when a friend does better than you at something.
Yeah,
I think especially with boys, they can get real, like you mentioned, competitive with each other. And so teaching your kids to celebrate their friends' wins and successes, even if it means that they beat them out at something. Maybe, you know, they were both running for student council and the friend got the position over your child. Help teach them to celebrate their friend's success, even in their own loss and hurt and you know, pain, if you will. Like teaching mm-hmm. our kids to think, oh, I'm so excited for them, even though I'm disappointed for myself. That teaches them how to love others the way Jesus calls us to. It puts the other's feelings before their own. And I think too, showing up for your friends. Go to some of their basketball games yeah. if you're not on their team, or if they're in the spelling bee, or, you know, obviously we all have really busy lives, so this can be challenging. But try, like I said before, to be that intentional friend that pursues those friendships. And I think it's a great way to show up for them. If we're at a baseball game and our friends that are on another team are playing at the same field, instead of leaving as soon as our game is over, if theirs is still going on, we stay and we watch and we cheer them on. Because I think that it's fun.
Yeah.
And their friends feel supported and cared for. My daughter goes and watches her friends that go to different high school play their volleyball games if she can. And, you know, just being someone that shows up.
Yeah.
But also in the hard times, you know, if a family, a friend's family is going through a difficult time, show up for them, bring a meal, invite the kid over to hang out, to give the parents some time. I think you do this really well. And it's a great example of our kids, how to be a good friend and show up for those around us in good times and bad times.
Mm-hmm. I think another thing which just kind of popped into my head that is really important to teach our kids is to know their limits mm-hmm. with their friends.
Yes.
I remember when I was younger, you would do like one sleepover and then you'd push it and be like, let's do a sleepover at my house tonight. Like yes. we were at your house last night. Okay. By Sunday, I was like, I'm going to kick you out of this house. I need some space from you, chick.
Yeah.
Like you just need some personal space. And so we do not do double sleepovers for that reason. My oldest is, I thought he was extroverted, but I think he's an extroverted introvert.
Ambivert.
Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
Ambivert?
Ampivert.
Oh, ampivert. I've never heard that term. But yeah. I think he is very social. He's super chatsy. He loves telling stories. He has so many friends. But when it hits 7:30, he starts panicking. If someone's over or he's at someone's house, I start getting texts. Okay, are you coming? I'm getting tired. Like, we need to close this down. Like, anywhere. Even if we're out with our family, we're like, have done so many fun Christmas things, like trolley lights or whatever. And he's looking at his clock and he's like, Mom, it's 7:15 on a school night. I need to wind down. And I'm like, okay, you're such an old man. You're 11. Can't you rally until 8 o'clock? We paid a lot for this trolley, right?
Yeah.
But part of me wants to push him, like, just stay a little longer. I'm in the middle of making cookies. I'll come pick you up at your friend's house when I'm done. But what I do need to do is praise that he's realizing his limits.
Right.
Because I have another one that will literally go. He will eat 9 million Oreos and just go on sheer adrenaline for like mm-hmm. 17 hours and be like, I'm not tired. And he has like an Oreo mustache.
Yeah.
And he's like falling asleep, you know, on the couch. I'm like, yes, you are. You don't know your limits. So yeah. I think it's helpful for them individually just to understand their limits. And sometimes if they don't have limits, like one of mine, you have to kind of place those and say, okay, we're going to do a play date for 2 to 3 hours. And then it's time to come home and spend mm-hmm. time with the family or get ready for school and take some, you know, have some alone time or some downtime because no one can go on just constant play dates and sugar highs and sleepovers.
Well, and I think to know the limits of the friends that they're spending time with too, mm-hmm. like be a student of your kids' friends and their families. Like, get to know them to a point where you understand those limits as well, because you kind of touched on this before, but we've had a friendship where we've learned the family's limits, and they're the kind that have no limits.
Yes.
And they will go, and we'll be like, okay, should we come pick them up now? Oh no, they're still having fun. And then we're like, oh my gosh, it's like almost midnight.
And like, we're gonna go to Flagstaff. Are you for the having weekend.
Are you having a sleepover or not? Like, what's happening here? So like, we've learned with those friends, like, we need to set the limits and we need to hold very firm, or we invite that child over to our house instead of sending ours to theirs. But then on the flip side, we have other friends whose families are very like rigid and have very, you know, structured schedules. And when they say the hangout ends at 3 o'clock, it ends at 3 o'clock, and they want the kids' shoes on and ready to walk out the door the minute they pick up. So to respect them and honor them in that friendship, we try to adhere to that instead of being the house where we're like, oh, they're still playing, you know. So it's be a student of your kids' friends and their families, so you can also model to your kids how to be a respectful and honoring friend in that way. I think also be a fun friend to be around.
Yes, please be fun. Yeah. No one wants boring friends. Right.
Let your hair down. Don't be a stick in the mud. Enjoy your times together. This comes back to what I've said already. Be intentional. Like, plan fun things. Yeah, some just relaxed hangouts are good too. But like, think of fun things to go do together. You don't have to spoil your friends with over showering them with gifts and things like that to a certain degree. But also, you can be a fun friend that is like, hey, I was thinking of you when I was at the store and I was buying myself baseball cards and I bought you a pack too because I know you like them. You know, that's like my son will randomly be like, hey, mom, can we get so-and-so this or that? I know he really likes it. And I'm like, yeah, we can, because that's being a fun friend. So it's not always doing something to be fun, like when they're hanging out. But, you know, it can be a simple gift, a note, a text. But just be fun and be enjoyable to be around, and also pick friends that are fun.
Yeah, I know. One of my kids is like a total negative Nancy, like such a grumpy Gus. And I'll be like, smile. Like, in my mind, I'm thinking, like, if I was this friend that is over right now, I would be like, can I go home? This kid's a dud. So I'm always like, hey, be friendly. Why don't you ask him about himself? Why don't you, like, I'm always in the background coaching, and he's like, mom, stop. I'm like, I'm just saying, you're kind of boring. Uh-huh. No, I don't say that. But I know it comes more naturally for people.
Right.
But I think if you or your kid has a tendency to be a fun hater, maybe come up with some ways to supplement, like, mm-hmm. okay, well, I know this kid is not really from fun country. So as the mom, I'm going to just like maybe set out some fun stuff they can strew around with, some balloons, some straws, some string. Maybe they can create, come up with some fun ideas. I don't know, but I have to share this. My youngest is in kindergarten and he is definitely the fun friend. He's the life of the party. I'm nervous. I can like see him as a frat boy already, like hanging from chandeliers. And what he does is he goes to school and then he sets up play dates. He commits me to things of like kids I don't even know. He'll be like, I set up a play date with a new kid. We're going to Sky Zone. I'm like, what? Who? What's his name? What's the mom? I don't know what's going on. He's like, we're supposed to go after school. I'm like, no, you can't do that. So the other day he came home and he was like, I need all the Twix. So my husband, he is definitely from Fun Country. So he bought this like 90 square foot box of Twix and like brought them to this party, gave them out to all the kids. And they're like, yeah, you know, a full size Twix is like the holy grail when you're 5 years old. So we had some Twix left over and Bennett, my youngest, was like, I need some bows. I got to wrap these. I told my three best friends at school that they're getting Twix for me tomorrow. I'm like, you did? Okay. I don't know. You know, at school, you're not supposed to bring candy and share. They're so strict with rules. And I hardly know these parents. These are his new friends. So I don't know if they have allergies or whatever. So he gets Christmas bows. He puts one on each of the Twix. He's like, I'm putting these in my bag. I'm giving them out tomorrow. I'm like, okay, fine. Just don't get in trouble because you probably will. Like, you're not supposed to do any of these things. He's like, it's fine. So the next day he comes home and there's three bows and one empty Twix bar wrapper. And I'm like, well, okay, so how did it go? He's like, well, Schaefer doesn't like caramel. I'm like, okay. And he's like, and Shepherd wasn't there because he was at the doctor's. I'm like, okay. So there's three bars. Now two are missing. Okay. And then whose wrapper? He's like, well, Addie ate hers and she gave me the wrapper back. I'm like, okay, so where are the other two Twix bars that were supposed to go to the other dudes? He's like, well, I ate them for lunch, obviously. I'm like, you had two Twix bars for lunch? And then his lunch was not even touched. I'm like, oh, well, gosh, you're killing me. And he's like, what? You didn't tell me not to. I'm like, oh, I didn't think I had to explicitly say, like, if your friends don't accept your fun gifts of Twix bars, you cannot partake in those on your own. He's like, oh, well, I didn't know. So anyway, he is definitely a fun friend.
He was being his own fun friend.
Yes. And he was hyper hypo that day. And, okay. Anyway, my point is, be a fun friend, even if you have to bribe them with Twix. It's worth it. And then lastly, I think really, again, getting a little more spiritual here, helping our kids pray for their friends. I think God can really strengthen their faith and build them up and help them feel better about themselves and their friendships when we spend time praying for their friends and their friendships. And also the kids that are not enemies, but the kids that are challenges or struggles or that they're having trouble with in school.
Yeah. And I think through praying for your friends, you also want to be the type of friend that's a safe space for them that they can trust and offer private information to share with you. So in doing that, being that safe space where they can trust, you're able to have friends that are willing to open up with you and be vulnerable so you can be praying for them. And teaching our kids to not be afraid to tell our friends that they're praying for them, because that's one way they can model Jesus to them. If maybe they don't come from a Christian home, they might be like, well, what are you praying? Like, who are you praying to? What does that mean? And it's an opportunity to open up that conversation about who Jesus is and maybe invite them to church eventually. But, you know, making sure that you teach your kids through being the type of friend that prays for their friends and using God to help build them up, also making sure that they understand that they need to be a safe place where private information that they share with you, they don't tell to other people. There's nothing worse than finding out your friend told an intimate secret to somebody else. And I think it only takes you like once, if you truly care or have a heart, to have done that to someone and see how much it hurts them, to then understand how important that is. And we try to remind our kids that all the time. But if that situation does arise where you did I remember in like fifth grade, my daughter and her friend were fighting and they'd been friends for a long time. So the mom and I got involved and turned out they both actually said something about the other person behind their back that they weren't supposed to say. So there was this big miscommunication, and helping talk them through that and help them realize how important it is to keep those things between you and that person. But also teaching your kids, obviously, if it's something very serious where they want to harm themselves or someone else, or someone's hurting them, maybe they're in an abusive situation, that they can come talk to you as their parent and tell those things, but just not to be the kind of friend that goes and blabs and tells people secrets to other friends. I think those kind of go hand in hand, being a trustworthy friend that keeps private information private, and then their friends know that they're a safe space, and then that opens the door for you praying for them, and them then understanding what prayer is, and maybe opening the door to inviting them to church and just being the hands and feet of Jesus in their life.
I love that. What a good one to end on. We would love to hear from you. We would love you to like us. Is that what you say? Subscribe?
Follow us on Instagram, like us, and Facebook. Like us. We want validation.
Yes.
Please
be a good friend. No, yeah. I'm just kidding. Please applaud us. No, that's not what we're asking for. But we would love for you to follow Grace-Based Families on Instagram and Facebook, because we are always posting encouraging tips for how to further and deepen your relationships with your family and friends. And please share this podcast if it's been an encouragement to you. We are so grateful for you, and feel free to email us at family@gracebasedfamilies.com if we can be praying for you, or if there's anything specific you'd like us to speak on. Have a great week.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Grace-Based Family Podcast. This is part of Family Matters Ministry. For more information, check us out at gracebasedfamilies.com and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Until next time.